Greetings, friends. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In previous programs, we talked about what we are supposed to be doing under the new covenant. As I mentioned, we should be doing the right things for the right reasons. And there are four right things we should be doing under the new covenant. They are, number one, accept by faith Jesus' death for the forgiveness of our sins. Number two, accept by faith Jesus' life for our righteousness. Number three, accept by faith Jesus' resurrection for our eternal life. And number four, accept by faith Jesus living in us by the power of the Holy Spirit to write the law upon our hearts and minds. Today we'll cover point three in depth, which again is accepting by faith Jesus' resurrection for our eternal life. Now, why do we have to accept this by faith? Well, can we do anything to give ourselves eternal life? Can you be born of the flesh again? Can you go back into your mother's womb and be born over and over and over again? No, it's impossible. So therefore, you can't gain eternal life in that way. Can you resurrect yourself from the dead? Of course not. Can you live a perfectly sinless life from now until your death? No. So therefore, we have to accept by faith the gift of eternal life. And let's read how God explains this to us. In Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, this is Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 11, God says, "Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No way. How shall we that are dead to sin live in sin? Don't you know that those who are baptized into Jesus are baptized into his death? So that just like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in the newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so shall we be in the likeness of his resurrection. Our old man is crucified with him so that we no longer serve sin. For he that is dead is free from sin." Have you ever seen a dead person sin before? Of course not, because they're dead. So therefore, if we are dead, then we are going to be free from sin, meaning we're not going to sin any longer. But how is this possible? Now, if we are dead with Christ, this is how it's possible. If we are dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. This is the faith. We believe that we shall also live with him. Christ died once for sin, but in that he lives for God. Likewise, reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now in verses 22 through 23, this is still chapter 6, verses 22 through 23, we read, "Now being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit leading to holiness, and the end is everlasting life. For the wages of sin," this is what we do in and of ourselves, of our own power, "for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Plain and simple. But let's look at another example that says the same thing. This will be our second witness in the scriptures. In 1 Peter the 3rd chapter, verses 18 through 22, we find this. Again, this is 1 Peter the 3rd chapter, verses 18 through 22. "Christ has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust," and the unjust, of course, are all of us who have sinned. "So Christ has suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God." We can't come to God on our own. We have to be brought to God by Jesus Christ, so that being put to death in the flesh, we can be quickened by the Spirit. And that word quickened means to be made alive. So we can be quickened by the Spirit. Now, a type of this was in the days of Noah, wherein only 8 souls were saved by water. The symbolism is that baptism not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, baptism now saves us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So here we have again the symbolism of baptism, where baptism, you go under the water, so it's like a watery grave, and then when you come out of the water, it's like being resurrected. So this baptism now saves us by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject to him. And my friends, it is such a wonderful promise to know that our destiny is to be with Christ forever, wherever he is. Now the third witness and testimony to this principle that we have to accept by faith the gift of eternal life can be found in Colossians, the second chapter, verses 9 through 12. This is the book of Colossians, the second chapter, verses 9 through 12. Here it says, "In Christ dwells all the fullness of the Godhead, and you are complete in Christ." And do you hear that? You are complete in Christ. There is nothing else besides Christ that you need to be complete. Everything that you need, you have in Jesus Christ, including accepting by faith that through Jesus Christ we will be resurrected to eternal life. So it goes on to say, "And you are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom you also are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of sin." So here we have this example of cutting away the body of sins of the flesh by the circumcision, how? Of Christ. And how is this? "Buried with him in baptism, wherein you also are risen with him through the faith," here's our belief, accepting it by faith, "through the faith of the operation," it's like this operation of circumcision, "through the operation of God, who has raised him from the dead." Now following in Colossians, the third chapter, verses 1 through 4, again still in the book of Colossians, but this time chapter 3, verses 1 through 4, it says, "If then you be risen with Christ, then seek those things that are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory." So again, here we have this example that when we are baptized, it's like we are being put under a watery grave. And when we come out of that watery grave, it's like we are being resurrected to a new life. But that is just a type, because truly we will die in the flesh, but truly we will be resurrected to spirit, to live eternally. Now in 1 Corinthians 15, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 13 through 23, it says, "If there isn't a resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain, and you are still in your sins. But Christ has risen from the dead, and become the first fruits of them that slept. By man came death," and we know who this man is, "but also by man," and we know who this man is, "came the resurrection of the dead. Because Adam sinned, we all die. Likewise, because Christ never sinned, we shall all be made alive. Every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then they that are Christ at his coming." That's when we will be made alive and given eternal life, when we are resurrected at Christ's coming. Now in Ephesians, the second chapter, this is the book of Ephesians, in the second chapter, verses 1 through 8, we're going to see the same principle again, and this makes our fifth testimony in the scriptures. It says here, "You has he quickened," or made alive, "who used to be dead in trespasses and sins. In times past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience. You fulfilled the lusts of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even like everybody else. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Why? So that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Again, that same principle that we have to accept by faith that we will be resurrected to eternal life, just as Jesus Christ was resurrected to eternal life. And now let's read in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. This is John chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Unless a man is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Nicodemus responded by saying, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born again?" That's the same question I asked earlier. But we know the answer to that. It is impossible for that to happen. So Jesus responded in this way, "Unless a man is born of water," that's baptism, "and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." Now, I know there's a lot of controversy surrounding this scripture, but I state unequivocally that this means that we will be born again literally, spirit-composed eternal beings, just like Jesus Christ is now spirit, and he is eternal. We also will be born again of the Spirit. If you take a careful reading of 1 Corinthians chapter 15, you'll see that God makes it very plain that when we are born again, we will be born of the Spirit, literally composed of Spirit and having eternal life. Finally, let's read in verses 14 through 16 of the third chapter of John. This is verses 14 through 16. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life." And you're familiar with that example of when the Israelites, because of their sins, were being bitten and dying from the serpent's bites. But God said to Moses, "Put a serpent on a pole and lift it up, and whoever looks at the serpent on the pole will be spared from death." In like manner, as Jesus Christ was put on the stake or pole and lifted up, if we look to Jesus, we will not perish, but we will have eternal life. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life." Today we've covered accepting by faith Jesus' resurrection for our eternal life. In the next program, we'll cover the fourth right thing we should be doing under the new covenant, which is accepting by faith Jesus living in us by the power of the Holy Spirit to write the law upon our hearts and minds. Thanks for joining me on this program. May God be in you.